Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, a two-day hangover. Yes, sir.
Ooh, a two-dayer.
Now, I had a discussion with my bride yesterday about the fact that, remember when I took a year off from Hooch?
Yeah.
In totality? I have to, I only have two choices now, in my humble opinion. I had a fabulous time on Saturday night. I had a really, really good time. With that said, the morning after does not, at this stage of my life, in any way justify the night before. It just doesn't anymore. It is past the
His
idea
ROI.
Of feeling crappy. It does not. The crappy feeling doesn't. And then throw in, there's another factor here, and Carla and I both succumbed to this.
Michael?
No, well, that's the huge. Carla was pissed at me because she gave me the morning, so I was cool. But that it's not functional for us to do that, even with child care coverage and babysitters. You have to, when you have a little guy, you got to be, there's no day off.
You have to be present.
Yes. You got to be present. And I was present, but not present in the way that I like to be. So that's that.
He's crawling all over here. Yeah,
were you there? But the thing that killed me is that it's the inhibitions that go out the window. And so
yes.
Late in the day,
nom noms.
Specifically once we put the little guy nom-noms. To sleep, yes. Nom noms came into, and I know when Carla has succumbed, because she says to me, "Why don't you go out and get us something?"
Oh.
That to me, that enables me, like, the horses are at the gate. That, because as soon as that happens, I am
go
just
get
like,
him, champ.
It's like, what do you want me to do, Carla? She said, why don't you go get us? Said, oh, no. I'm out the door. And I'm over at the Walmart.
Three drive-thrus later?
Yeah.
It was not that. It was actually a sweet thing.
What'd you get?
Foster's?
I went to the Walmart and got
a cheesecake.
A variety of it. The Walmart bakery section, really, no.
Not
working for me. But Walmart is the closest now to our home, and they have everything. They have I got a 3-volt battery this morning. But anyway, the thing about
does that have to do with weight loss?
Is that hard to find? What's going on?
No, it's got.
But
got
did they have the nipple clips too?
I have made the mistake of running to the drugstore time and time again, which is 20 minutes down the road.
Right.
Not really. It's more like 5. But the fact is, everything is so good. I'm not going to pretend things aren't ridiculously convenient down here.
But the truth is, you share a property line with Walmart.
I do. We share a property line with Walmart. So I go to Walmart for everything. And then the Hugs Are Great dude who saw me today. Great greeter. Old man, great greeter, took his job seriously.
Good. He should.
He was helping one of the FGCU students before me, this slacker with his long hair. And then
FGCU?
Yeah, FGCU student.
Florida?
Florida Gulf Coast University.
Oh, nice.
They were in the dance room.
Yes, of course they were.
NCAAs. They got further than your Rams, I believe.
Well, Mike, I almost got as far as the Rams and I wasn't playing.
Exactly. So it has everything. And Saturday, Sunday night, I ventured out and Carla said I did a really bad job. With our sweet thing. I got the 3 different kinds of ice cream.
For each of you?
I got one for her, a pint for her, a pint for me, and then a little half gallon.
Oh, you see, I was imagining
if we like that.
I was imagining ice cream novelties, like something on a stick.
No.
Well,
the man's
a
pint
man. I've done that before. No, pints are. He's a pint man. By the way, Ben and Jerry's. I know it's constant upgrading and constant, but the core line that you have with and by the way, we should get that guy on the show again.
Okay.
Greenfield, is that his name?
I believe so. Yes.
And get the flavor guru, the guy that comes in
Pint
and
man.
Brings. If he wants to come in, we should reach out.
Okay.
But the fact they've got this new thing where there's a core of like cookie dough in the middle of the ice
or caramel.
Not digging it.
Yeah. Why not?
It's a gimmick. I like if you're gonna
My thought is that it's too much.
It's way too much.
And
it's
it doesn't you know what? Work. One of the things about ice cream is when it's properly done, Oscar, go with me on this. The mixing, the ratio is done for you. The ratio shouldn't be put upon you.
Right.
You shouldn't have to measure
the core, Rob,
against the ice cream.
You don't want to do the math.
Thank you, Rob Spiewak. Mm-hmm.
And although the caramel is delicious and leaning a little towards salty.
But you have to sit there. You might as well just get a mixing tool. To like swirl it all through. I don't want to have to go through
just
that.
Just for clarification, you got a pint for each of you, and then a pint you could split.
No, a quart could split. It was a half gallon.
Oh. a proper half gallon or one of those Breyers half gallons?
It was a Breyer.
It's not a half gallon, though.
It was a new Breyers. It looked like a Tupperware container. We might still have it.
Go get it.
I still have it in the house. Yeah. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. But anyway, the Breyers.
Ice cream will make you sleepy.
He's weighed down.
Yeah, he is.
It was the new Breyers gelato creation.
Oh, this is so good.
It's like caramel, salted caramel with truffles in it. Mm. And here's where Breyers, listen, don't be duped by Breyers, because I see the little chocolate truffles on top of the gelato. And you know what it was? It was top dressing. It wasn't throughout the gelato.
Yeah, they're not inside.
Well, you know what? I'm not a big fan of the Breyers organization anyway. I think there's a lot of air in that ice cream. I think they skimp a little on the milk fat. You should have called me, Mike. I would have entertained that call.
You know, I should. Next time I'm doing one of those.
Hi, Rob. It's Mike. I'm in the ice cream section. I need your help.
No, I would call you and say, Rob, I'm doing this. We're having a bad eating run, and I need help. I need, because Carla gave me an F minus on the run that I did. I just did that bad a job.
What you should have done is gotten yourself a super premium vanilla, like, say, a Haagen-Dazs,
right,
and then toppings.
How do you bounce back from a weekend like that?
You bounce back by drinking this. See my giant Red Sox cup here?
Yeah. Oh.
This is a day of agua. Ah. This is a day of agua. And, the morning breakfast was plain oatmeal without any sweeteners whatsoever. Boy, that goes down easy when you're feeling really
good. Did you put any water in the oatmeal, or you just leave it raw?
No, we had water in the oatmeal. And, the sweetener is, got a few little raisins in there, but she skimped on the raisins.
Here's
too.
Your gravel, fatty.
It's horrible. Horrible. I'm not good at it. So here's the new thing. The new experiment.
Raisins and oatmeal. When will that see the light of day again? Will that be tomorrow morning? Will you realize the benefit of that?
I don't want to talk about poo in front of the intern.
Please don't. All right, that's why I tried to phrase it lightly.
Thank you. I actually will. The discussion was this. All the inhibitions and the Saturday night, and later in the show I will tell you about a bit of a scene on Saturday night that did not involve me at all, but was another guy. And a guy that's going to go nameless because I am still actually pissed. And
Mike, though.
And wondering whether I'm going to say something when I see the guy again.
Question. Could it have been you?
No.
No, it's not a situation you would have found yourself in.
No, I have behaved badly after cocktails. We probably all have. Oscar and I more than you, Rob.
Yes.
But the fact is, I truly... hi there. Hi. Do I need to sign for that? No. Bye-bye. Thank you. That's it.
Is it the Breyers?
What's going on, Mike? We're on radio. We're on the radio.
The Breyers truck is here.
FedEx lady. You know how FedEx runs and runs out? Signal them in case.
Yes.
I think I know what that is.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What is it?
More ice cream?
It's going to be sartorially splendid.
More ice cream?
No, it's not more ice cream. Was that pony?
No.
Yeah.
Nom noms.
Hey, he made a joke. Take the week.
Do I need to sign? All right, I have to go sign.
All right.
Hey, how about we start the show?
Yeah,
then?
How about we start the show?
No. I want to bring the FedEx lady in if she wants to come in.
Okay. I
want you to see her.
All right.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is. You know what? He's happily married. This is sloppy and untoward.
This is also what desperate old people do.
Come in,
talk to me.
Uh-huh. That's why FedEx runs off.
A lot of times it's probably, I have candy.
My FedEx guy, he's not on the clock because he will take his time. He's listening to 10 podcasts. Right. He has no idea what's going on.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Lean down. This is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Jennifer is our FedEx lady.
We have a quick question, Jennifer, before you go, if you don't mind. Quick question, Jennifer.
Don't be mean.
No. Is the reason you guys run to the doors and run away because you have the elderly stop you all the time because they're so lonely and they need people in their lives? Okay.
Did Mike offer you candy to come into his home?
All right, stop it. All right. I'll sign. Say hi. It's the Mike O'Mara show, Jennifer.
And you know what? This is nice. This is nice for you, Jennifer, because not only is this going to, you know, say that Mike received the package, but now you have a famous man's autograph.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Thank you, Jennifer.
She was very nice to come in on the show. That was terrific. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's great. That's rare. Usually it's a sprint.
Mike, you've made a friend.
You have made a friend.
Yes. Oh, I love the FedEx people. Yes. I do. Yes. I do. I like to Mimonassus, and I like
check
here
the tape.
Too, so. Yeah, I mean, are you talking about when I raved out about him that one time? But I got to go shut the door. Now you can start the show, asses.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I had been living in New York and working there as an actor and director and choreographer for 25 years or so, and I really felt I needed a change. I imagined in my fantasy, I suppose, that when I came here, I would have a completely different life. Perhaps a construction worker with a hard hat, you know, that sweeping sort of hat, and with the chaps. But that didn't really work out. I began to realize, I guess, that the theater was still in my blood, and what I had to do was make use of that. So my first show was my production on the stage of Backdraft was what really got them excited. This whole idea of in-your-face theater really affected them. The conceptualization, the whole abstraction, the obtuseness of this production to me was what was interesting. I wanted the audience to feel the heat from the fire, the fear, because people don't like fire poked in their noses. You know, when you get a cinder from barbecue right on the end of your nose and you kind of make that little face, that's not a good thing.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Noses. We are coming to you live from the Cappy Fiber studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you are here, you do too. Our show today brought to you by Blue Apron. I eat Blue Apron every single week. I really do. I don't talk about that very often, but I tell you about Blue Apron. I really don't know which one to select today. I could tell you about the chicken fried chicken with baked sweet potato and collard greens. I could tell you about the steak and eggs with quick kimchi fried rice, which was just about the most amazing thing I've eaten in a long time. I could tell you about the Duca spiced cod with warm beet carrot and arugula salad. All these, it's like a collection. And I realized something about Blue Apron. If you like Blue Apron like I do, you can collect these and have yourself a little cookbook. You
sure,
have a
recipe
a
file.
Cookbook.
Yeah.
And because Blue Apron not only sends you phenomenal ingredients so that you can make your own food, and it comes in a box with the protein, with the seasonings, with everything that you get, Blue Apron can also teach you how to be a better cook and teach you how to familiarize yourself with your kitchen. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. No more overwhelming trips to the grocery store. No more sad takeout. No matter what dietary preferences you have, Blue Apron makes it a breeze, and it's all delicious. We are cooking with ingredients we've never used before. We're learning in the kitchen. All the recipes between 500 and 700 calories per portion. And it's tasty and good for you. My mouth is watering right now.
Oh, good. That's sort
and
of
right
sad.
Now, you can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. Our treat, really, the first two meals on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook, ladies and gentlemen. So welcome to the Monday edition of the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. I was talking about the fact that we had the Cocoonville season-ending soiree on Saturday.
Just like at the end of Dirty Dancing,
I was
right?
Just there with you. Yeah.
A big thing with Cousin Brucey there. Yeah. The whole thing was great.
And I love that scene. I love that scene where they sing. Remember, and then what's his name comes walking out? Jack Weston comes walking out. So here's to all the guests. that joined us, employees, guests, and friends, you know, and he does that little thing. I love that scene. And Jerry Orbach is sitting there being the angry doctor with his cigarette. Yeah, it was, that's a good damn movie, isn't it?
Great movie. Dirty Dancing. Great music. Everything about it. Good.
Really, everything about that movie. The late Patrick Swayze, who I got a chance to interview a long time ago. What a great movie that is. But this is the
Jennifer Grey's
season,
old nose in that movie.
Old
too.
Nose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So without names, I will tell you that this is multi-layered. I gotta open.
Well, start from the beginning. Start from the beginning because you know.
All right.
We need to understand probably the personality of the entire event. If you we're going to understand what
personality, the person I was, Swayze. What's that?
You had to fire Patrick Swayze because he was supposed to do the last dance.
No, he had to hold Patrick Swayze above his head.
Yeah, but he has to fire him first to tell him that he can't dance the last dance of the season.
That's right.
I'm trying to think about Patrick Swayze, but I can't. Because, all right, here's where it comes from. And I have to be honest, okay?
All right.
I got pigeonholed a long time ago, like at the beginning of the year down here, with politics.
Right.
This is a very, very, very right-wing base of people down here. Mm-hmm. And it's different than it's ever been.
A hateful
I've
people.
Been, I have been...
Would you
I
say hateful?
Been,
would you say hateful?
Angry.
Okay, good.
Let me tell you, I've played golf my whole life. I've been around golf clubs. That's the... golf courses are... in my personal opinion, because I've been around it, mostly Republicans. Okay. That's the way it's always been. And I've never been really shy about people knowing what side of the aisle I'm on. But at the same time, this year and down here, I regret it because we have become so divisive that I don't talk about it anymore. I don't talk about it really that much on the radio anymore either.
You had mentioned that you've made a conscious decision to not bring it up amongst your neighbors because there's nothing to be gained from it.
It's so divisive. But what I didn't realize, and this is similar to, I think, anybody that has been, it's a strong word, discriminated against.
Okay.
I got pigeonholed for this. It is joked about now, usually once, maybe a couple of times a week, where somebody will say something about it. And what I realized is that in years past, when I would have that, it would be light. It would be fun. It would be, and I realize now
ribbing.
That there
gentle
are,
ribbing, right?
Yeah, there are a number of people who have really judged me in totality and have a hard time getting by it. And so I only, because I'm thick-skulled, I only probably realized it this past weekend.
Mm.
Let me tell you how. So that's the setup, okay? That's where it came from.
What about all those emails you get for people trying to change your political persuasion?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get that. Somebody said he was going to send me something, but it didn't happen.
But if somebody's sending you something, doesn't
nobody
that,
did. I haven't gotten
but
it.
But even if they allude to... that should like really raise a red flag.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's not. It's something where
they
with,
think
with,
they're
with,
going to fix you, Mike.
What I'm down here for, yeah. And what I do when I'm outside of the show, I'm not an activist. I'm somebody who has a strong opinion. I love talking about it. Used to, but I don't outside. I'm not looking for that. That's not why I play golf with people. I want to go out and have a good time, think about the score, bust balls, and laugh. That's it. So what I realized, though, is that some people just have held on to this in regards to me in a way that I was surprised at. And I now know that that's the... first of all, there's nothing that can unring that bell.
Sure.
Nothing's going to change about that. Nor do I particularly care because, it's not... if you're that way, that's fine. I can handle that. But to be honest with you, I was with a bunch of people probably felt the same way politically as this one individual I'm going to talk about did. But, they hang with me, and that's the way it's always been. I disagree, I don't agree at all with my buddy Jerky politically, but we have a great time, and he knows that.
Jerky's
and we actually
a
talk
great,
about it.
Great guy.
We talk about it and have a great time doing it. We really do. Those days for a lot of people are gone. We've become, I've said this before. You're not going to persuade anybody,
right?
But we've become so completely obsessed with our opinions that nobody can discuss anymore. And it's not just Congress. It's now out into the public.
What happened? You've said many times one of your fondest memories growing up is listening to your parents and your aunts and your uncles not argue but discuss, and and it's a very, very civilized, passionate way.
Everybody thinks they're an expert now because they have the internet.
Yeah,
simple as that. You know, there's a great article in Salon.com, which Salon skews super left, so sure. I have to qualify my remarks on it. But Salon talks about the fact that Fox News killed the Republican Party, and it's not because of political ideology, it's because of money. And I completely agree with that, because the fact is the Bill O'Reillys, the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks have made so much money with the type of radio and the type of television that they do. I think it is that, we come from the corporate radio and corporate TV. Money is the driving force. That's it. If you get ratings and you get, people lap it up. So, but, read it on your own. I'm sitting there and I go out on the porch and I hear, I'm out there by myself. I won't tell you what I was doing.
Oh.
So I'm going
sweeping.
Out there.
It was sweeping.
I'm
up.
Sweeping.
No, I'm
sweeping.
Going out to. I'm going out spring to grab cleaning. A, grab a grab a quick one. And I hear
sure. A grab
guy,
a choke, Mike.
Mm. I hear a pony. Guy. Hear a guy out on the come through the door, and I don't turn around. I walk back over, and he's way over on the other end. I know the guy. He's the guy that I play golf with. And so I said, "How are you, sir?" Just kind of that. Hello there. All right. But all right. Yeah. And just, he obviously to me is a little wasted.
Okay.
Maybe a lot wasted.
So and he's on another porch down the row a little bit.
I know immediately that where he was sitting, he saw me and I was on the far end and he's out, and he comes out and he's doing the vape thing.
Right.
And he didn't come down there. And that's fine. I'm cool with that. I didn't really think twice about it. But we have a very, I would say, brief exchange that I would not describe as anything other than kind of curt. It's all very, right. And I'm fine, because I think maybe it's because he's a little in the bag, okay?
Sure.
Flash forward to, we sit down, and we're having dinner with some guests there, and this guy comes over to our table, because it's a bunch of people that I play golf with, and he comes up, and he is bombed. I mean, bombed. And he leans over, and he says, "Hey, how you doing? Bernie?" And
what?
I'm like, whoa. And then I was, all right, that's fine. I'm mildly annoyed at that.
Sure.
And
you should have broken out into your Bernie.
That would have been
we're all doomed.
Wasn't really thinking about that at the time, Oscar. Was kind of based on the previous exchange and that moment, and maybe there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been sitting right with me lately, and that's because of, I talked to somebody about it, as far as when you go through anything traumatic, that's the way life rolls. And so he says something along the lines, I answer in some way, say, hey, I don't know, and said, well, that's because you're stupid.
Oh.
And he makes his way, and he's doing this.
Well,
he's loaded, and he's making his way around the table. I don't know whether it was the same discussion or whatever. He's got a drink in his hand, and it's going back and forth, and he makes his way.
Oh, he's one of those.
And at this point, he's between my wife and another young lady at the table, and he's going back and forth with the drink.
Watch the drink.
And I just said, if that, it didn't turn out to be a scene, but I said, if that drink had gotten on my wife, I'm not sure how that would have ended. I was so pissed, and I thought about it, and I thought about it for a long time, and I realized that this person's level of disdain and disrespect for me is predicated on maybe two conversations about politics where I made the horrible mistake of sharing some views that this person disagrees with.
Mm. You offered
and
an opinion.
Said,
how dare you?
And at that, I was just like sitting there, and like throw in the thing where there might not be even a memory of what happened. So I'm cool with that.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm like, it's one thing to do some friendly ball busting. I've gotten it my whole life. I have not disseminated it, believe it or not, my whole life, because I don't do that.
Uh-huh.
But I've been on the receiving end of it forever. and my own. And look, I don't know how you guys perceive this in the listening audience, but I will tell you, this has been on the receiving end. I have never put this out there to other people. I haven't. It's not out of fear, but it's just something I haven't done. And maybe it is somewhat fear-based, that if I gave as good as I got in this particular situation, that it would be ugly. Because there is more ugliness, and there is more hatred, and there is more anger than I have ever seen. And this is not confined to Republicans, because they do it in the Democratic Party, too. But I've never seen it like this. And so this person, who doesn't know me from Adam, has formulated the complete and total opinion of me based on a few opinions that I shared that, you know, and do I go back and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that? No, it's who I am. I don't know. I don't need to associate with people that are that closed-minded. But the fact is, it's so much different. And here's the question I throw out to you guys. Is it different because the whole country's different now, or is it different because this pocket of people that I've really never been around?
You have to get new friends. Bottom line, I have friends, and you know me. I'm not really conservative or a liberal when it comes to politics. And at this point, you know, after talking to friends that are on both sides, I'm really leaning towards Bernie. And I thought Cankles was going to win.
Right on.
Bernie, I'll tell you, as somebody who voted for Hillary, I'm sitting there going, you know, with everything every day that comes out, I don't know. He gets some interesting stories.
But, Mike, there are friends in my life that either ball bust the way the guy did at your club, like hammered, or B, they don't talk about it, and we just joke about it, which is a much better setting than anything else.
Totally better setting. Mm-hmm. And I can do that all day long.
But to the people that don't and cannot have a conversation about what is really topical these days, because it's in your face, it's in the news, it's in
every hour, everywhere. Every hour, it's incredible.
You can't get away from it. Ideally, the people that I can't have a decent conversation with, I don't want in my life.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest with you, Oscar, it's a question of a rather large group of people that that I swing the club with. That's it. This is not someone who I have to engage with outside of that at all, and really rarely outside. You know, this is a group of people that are put together for a match every single time I go out and do this. So outside of that, I don't have to have. I literally don't have to
but
have
I will say
a
this.
Single word with this person if I don't need
I
to.
I think it's part of the other thing, too. I think that 20 years ago, it wouldn't be this in your face and approach someone out of the blue to sort of not pick a fight.
The guy was hammered.
He was hammered.
He was hammered. He wanted to go after Mike because he's got different political views. He called him Bernie, which is supposed to be some sort of burner insult. And I would say, if anything, because he attacked you in that way, the lowest common denominator to call someone a name of a candidate, woohoo! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
that in itself, the way that assault would come across is so childish that you shouldn't even waste your breath or any type of mental capacity even caring about this guy.
Well, here's the separation for me, and this is where I took issue, and I still take issue.
Okay.
In our regular circle of guys busting chops, that happens all the time about everything. That's the dynamics. The dynamic we have on this show. Where I don't expect that is when I'm sitting down to dinner with a group of men and women.
It's uncalled for.
And that's you're adults. That speaks
to
him.
That's not adult. And
that speaks to him. That's rude, is what that is.
Yeah. And it's I still am.
Send him an AA pamphlet.
God, I can't believe you're saying. I was saying the a-hole move of a-hole moves would just be walk in with one of those little cars and just put it down in front of him and do that. No.
Here's a pamphlet and just a coin. Let's get started.
And a Bernie button. Bernie button. And you know what? It's all set.
And if I do that, maybe he'll like me. Yay. I don't give a rat's ass. I hope he hates me.
Next time, do the Bernie impression, please.
Yeah.
Why are you attacking me? I don't understand. No, I don't give that stuff away for free to some a-hole. I don't have to do that. It's not my style. I'll do it for the other people, you know?
Why don't you just do an impression of him right back at him?
of everything he says.
All right. Yeah, that's him.
Because you want to talk about a great childlike way.
Drink on, yeah.
A great childlike way to get back at someone is just repeat everything they say. It pisses them off like nobody's business.
Yeah, that's it. He's like, okay, there you go. So, you know, and really how bad it was, the words Foster Brooks were mentioned at the table. I not.
Google it, Oscar. It's a funny reference.
It's an old guy that used to play a drunk on TV. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. I want to hear about Rob and the evening of Duran Duran.
Yes.
I'd rather have knitting needles put in my testicles. We'll take a break, come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gary Stein.
And on this week's episode of the show, I'm going to explain to you how I'm building my feet up to be the strongest feet in the universe.
And I would just like to say that that is so pathetic.
No, I'm going to have big, beautiful feet because of a new workout I'm doing.
Only you, buddy.
And we've got the latest on the Battle of the Bad Songs. Check it out this week, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
Buy a t-shirt.
The Tony Perkins Show.
You know, I don't think about Tony Perkins until I hear those promos, and now I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through the rest of the show without thinking about Tony Perkins' feet. Mm-hmm. I truly am going to be thinking
great
about
feet.
Tony's
feet. Yeah, I really hope they post pictures on Twitter.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Tracky. We all live in an era of smart cars, smart phones, smart homes. Technology has made everything smart.
I'm smart.
That, of course, until you lose something. That's enough to make smart people feel really, really dumb, even if they aren't told by somebody that they're trying to have dinner with that they're dumb. But losing things is now a thing of the past thanks to Tracker. Tracker, we all have them. It's a coin-sized device. I've got them, and Oscar's got them on the keys. Rob's got it on his dog.
Yeah, on the collar, because we can never find his collar.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. This is a fantastic... it's on the collar?
Yes.
Because you can never find the collar?
Yeah, because he doesn't wear the collar around the house, you see. He takes the collar off and... He doesn't take the collar
that
off.
That means you're a dog lover. That means you're a dog lover because you take the collar off like Carla does when it's nighttime so he can be more comfortable.
Isn't that collar good for fleas and stuff?
No, that would be a flea collar, just, Oscar.
It's what the leash goes on to. But it means that Rob's a true dog lover. And then when it's time to put it back on him, take him out, you lose it all the time.
All
so
the time.
So you put a tracker on it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, look, you go to the tracker app. It's on my phone. And all you got to do is open up the tracker app. And it actually says dog. It's so great. Look.
Oh, my God. Linus is in Canada now.
Look, it says dog.
There you go.
It's so cool.
Tracker is really incredible. You compare it with your smartphone. You attach it to anything, like Rob's dog. And you can find its precise location with the tap of a button. If you lose your phone, just press the button on Tracker and your phone will ring so you can find your phone with Tracker. Over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world. Never lose anything again thanks to Tracker. TMOS listeners will get a special 30% discount off their entire order. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's thetracker.com. The hardest thing you'll ever have to find is the website. Go to thetracker.com right now and use the code TMOS for 30% off. It's a great price anyway. 30% off makes it even better.
Yep.
That's thetracker.com, code TMOS. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, whoa. So, Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
A man who, you don't do it all the time. You don't do it. You're like everybody on Facebook. There's less sharing going on. There's a story about that.
I saw that
in news you may not need. But you don't share like you used to, but you still share. And you especially share when you're at a live concert. And
I didn't do that much this time because I was really enjoying the show. I only taped, I think, segments of two songs.
Oh.
The finale, they were both in the encore. So I don't think I overshared.
Where was the setting?
It was Verizon Center.
Oh, nice.
And so I did mention that
Duran Duran fills Verizon Center.
It was sold out, and it was such a funny, funny mix of people. They were all people my age and a little older and probably a little worse for the wear. Carrie is the best person to go to an event like that with because she's a great, great people watcher. So we got to our seats and the opening act was great. It was Nile Rodgers, who of course was in the band Cheek, and he did the
Freak Out.
Yeah.
I thought that was like late 70s, early 80s music.
But he produced for Duran Duran. He produced the song Notorious.
Tell me, why does Nile Rodgers have the gravitas to like, I saw the
you have no
video
idea. He produced the Let's Dance album for David Bowie, so they performed
Let's
that.
Let's Dance! Mm.
And of course, coming up later on, actually as a rejoinder record, he did this. He produced Get Lucky with Daft Punk, which was another huge hit.
Oh, so he's a superstar.
Oh, he's a big deal. Yeah, this guy.
He's still getting her done.
He played about an hour and did a great and Mike,
what does he do? What is his instrument?
Guitar. He's lead guitar, but producer. Okay. But right. You know, anytime you hear that sort of digga 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 digga, that's his sound, man.
Yeah, and good. You learn something every day on this.
And
show.
You know what? Cool. You would have loved it just because anytime you see a good band, it's worth it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he put together a great band. So that was good. But we're watching the people file in, and Sheik is finished, and we're waiting for Duran Duran. Carrie's looking around. She says, "Look at all these people." I know. She says, "I feel like a supermodel."
What?
Because they were not the best looking group.
Oh,
because I think Carrie is kind of used to seeing like the youth and the
the kids concerts.
The kids concerts, and she goes
to a Fall Out Boy concert. She's got all these young people running around,
and now she's hanging with the class of '82. Different crowd.
Well, you know, I would think. See, when I think of, because I'm 10 years older than you,
right?
I think in terms of old people going to concerts. I think of like Rush. And Lynyrd Skynyrd and things like that.
And it used this to be
is,
that. It used to
this
be
is
that.
Kind of really a little more your
This is
era.
Right in my era. And it was, you know
when
what?
When music was ruined.
It was,
no,
ruined.
I'm sorry.
It was
that's,
not
that's
ruined, terrible. Mike. Listen to this. Yeah. Who doesn't love this?
I saw Duran Duran one time.
Really?
In concert, yeah.
Pre-programmed electric sounds that you hear.
They were No.
Like HFS was sponsoring concert. And I remember going and I said, oh, my sister used to listen to this. And I was like 22. Yeah.
Right in that same age. That same age. Very, very. This is their superstar. This is that the 60s and 70s Beatles.
Yep.
Now the 80s gave us Duran Duran.
And you know what? To see them perform, they're actually they're a good band live.
Do they have big hair?
They have big stomachs.
Oh, really they're fat now?
Oh, Simon. Man, they were so skinny back in the day.
Oh, no.
It was funny. We one of our great P1 listeners,
stomach.
Sue Fedor, was there, and I got to see her. Mm-hmm. And she said, the cutest thing in the concert. I said, what? She said, when Simon Le Bon would raise his hands up, he'd forget and let his stomach come out.
Sue Fedor's
like, oh, my God.
She's a P1, right? She's
a P1 the best, fan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rob, what do they call that wall? The third wall or whatever it's called. Rob breaks. This is a listener of the. Did you go with her?
No, we just saw her there.
She was going to be there.
He was recognized.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was.
Look, it's Rob Spiewak.
That's exactly
curious things about things that I'll never
and
do.
And Carrie Spiewak.
Did you make a point of like saying we're going to be here at this point? We'll get together and do that.
But also, she's hung out with Carrie at live events too, so they know each other.
It's
kind
incestuous.
Of.
Right.
So they know what's going on.
Look, we have
card carrying Rob Mobber.
We have Turbo Rob Mobber.
Yeah, mostly we talked about how she doesn't like you, but loves me.
Well, that's true.
There are a couple of those. She loves
there are a couple
the
of those
show.
Out there.
They called him Bernie.
Yeah, you know what they are? She said, how's Bernie doing?
Bernie, you're stupid.
But
Bernie.
To go back to Carrie's people watching, and what to really quick address what you said earlier, Duran Duran is kind of like Carrie's Paul McCartney. That's her favorite band. That's the band that she saw. She's seen them before. She saw them in the 80s, like when they're promoting the Rio tour. I mean, she goes way back with them. And
they are perfect 80s musicians. When you look at them from that era, they have the glam hair. They've got they're super skinny guys, and they're just, you know, I mean, they were the 80s.
And you know what? They were a well-packaged band. They did a very good job, and the music was fun to hear.
Packaged.
Her name is Rio.
How much are tickets to see Duran Duran?
I think we had good seats, not great seats.
What are great seats cost?
Great seats were probably like $300.
What?
Oh, God.
We were on the floor. I think ours were $140.
Oscar, do you get any more 80s?
They almost look androgynous. Mm-hmm.
They almost look like they're a little bit of that Bowie thing happening.
Sure. Kate's a big fan.
And they did a they did a tribute to David Bowie as well, which is nice.
I am Kate's back with a vengeance, by the way.
What
show?
Season 2, right?
Yes.
Hello, Rob. Thanks for coming to the show.
His headbands.
So to see Carrie.
How fat are they? Like they ate
actually,
one of another
no,
bad.
Just what I'm saying.
Only Simon is fat.
Okay.
Only Simon got fat.
Is Simon the blonde?
Simon is the lead singer, the blonde, yeah. And you can see
he's
you
know, the. But he's like the one that shouldn't be fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And you know what? And the bad thing is it shows in his face.
You know who else shouldn't be fat? Axl Rose.
Oh, yeah,
the seated Axl Rose.
God. Yeah, yeah, Axl Rose. Rockers, you know, look, you. I think in terms of the Rolling Stones and Steven Tyler with Aerosmith, that they are going to weigh 112 pounds for the rest of their lives, and I thought they had that kind of metabolism where they. No, you know, when you see a fat rocker for the first
time, Axl broke his foot. Yes. Like the second show that he did.
Stepping out of the limousine.
It was the surprise show in New York, I believe.
Or
L.A.
Troubadour.
That surprise show.
So he was doing all his old moves from Guns N' Roses, and it was vintage Axl, except he looked like he ate Axl. From the 90s, and I sat there and I said, no wonder you broke your foot. You can't make those moves with that poundage on you.
He forgot to put in his arch support.
Yes!
Cementing my lack of popularity on The Edge, the old classic rock station that I did a morning show on with Kirk McEwen, I will tell you that when I played the cat sound effect at the end of a Guns N' Roses song,
sweet child of mine, and I'm playing meow, meow.
And like the lines lit up, I said, hey, they think I'm funny. No, they hated me for
that. No, not a big fan.
They really hated that I did that. Yeah. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, you had a little more to talk
about. I want
to
tell you about a great incident I think you're going to enjoy.
How loaded were you at the concert, by the way? I saw you were lubing up with Crown right before.
No, I had a couple of fashions before the show, but it was a three-hour show, so I mean, a beer or two. I probably could have driven home, but chose not to.
There you go. Very good. Very, very prudent. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. You know, I met somebody just the other day that runs a small business and was telling him, you know, a lot of people ask about how we monetize the show and how we keep this show going for our listeners. One of the big pieces of the puzzle I told him about was our relationship with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we talk about Amazon all the time and remind you to shop through the Mike O'Meara Show with Amazon is because we get a tiny percentage, but it means a tremendous amount to the show. You probably hear me talk about it so often that you might not know how important it is. But without our relationship with Amazon, this show might not even be able to continue. That's how important Amazon is to us. So we want you to shop Amazon, and we also want you to do that by going to MikeO'MearaShow.com/Amazon, or you can click the button on our website. It's right there. Every time you go to the MikeO'MearaShow.com website, it's right there for you to click on. Or you can even use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then just shop like you normally would. Doesn't change the price of things. You still have your great Amazon deals, and it's really simple, but it is really, really important. So if you really haven't been doing it, I'd love to remind you to do it right now.
Please.
If you're thinking about buying something online, buying it on Amazon, please remember the Mike O'Meara Show every time you do it. It means the world to us. Thank you, friend, and thank you for being a good listener.
Good.
We're back, talking to Rob about Duran Duran. I cannot tell you, looking at these photographs of Duran Duran, there is not a picture that represents the 80s music more than Duran Duran. They're absolutely the
as the Beatles
boys for
as it. The Beatles were the 60s and Elvis was the 50s. I'd say they are the band of the 80s if you had to pick one.
And then, you know what? And I know your wife likes them, and I'm going to keep this down to a dull roar.
Well, you can say whatever you want.
Well, the fact is that's what's wrong with the 80s and music.
Flock of Seagulls, Duran Duran, the worst.
Well, you know
what? Spandau Ballet. Okay, true.
There's always sort of a cycle of when retro stuff becomes cool again. Started with Happy Days, when people in the 70s started to yearn for the 50s. And when the 80s became popular again, as a rule, I tried to tell these people that were 20 years younger than me. I said, hey, I was there. It wasn't that good. Journey wasn't that good.
When did that happen?
There was a big 80s thing, like probably about 15 years ago. Remember, there was that 80s show on TV.
But it's nostalgia for the Rubik's Cube or Transformers.
Everything.
Young
music.
Kids are listening to 80s music.
Yep,
they listen to 80s.
Are they?
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, gross.
So it was a great night for Carrie because she got to pretend she was in high school again, but she was still the full grown up Carrie when she was making fun of people. Now, we were on the floor, which means that I was one aisle away from the people that were on the seats. That
would they be early 80s or mid 80s or late 80s?
I would put them early to mid. Was there
MTV?
Yeah,
like 83 would be a big thing,
huge for them. Yeah, and so 82 is I think when Hungry Like the Wolf came out. So there was in the front row of the seats that are, you know, on a on an incline, like the seats you would go for to a hockey game, right? There was a couple that when the opening act was over and waiting for Duran Duran, come on, everyone's seated, but they're standing up and they're maybe in their mid-20s and he's got her arm, his arms around her from behind, and they're just swaying so people can see them. Because
you know, can I just say one thing about this? Because I think, in, for full disclosure here, and really being clear, you know, when you talk about, I went to the Hot Run 100 of 83, and you know, you've got the Police, Michael Jackson, Irene Cara from Flashdance, remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Men at Work, Michael Jackson again, Hall and Oates. And there's Duran Duran with Hungry Like the Wolf, but I think giving them credit to be the band of the 80s.
Well, but also
giving them way
they were
more
the Rubes band of the 80s.
Well, no, they were a little alternative. They were bigger on MTV than they were for chart play. They were a video band. And Mike, also, it has more to do, I think, visually represented. That's what you said. Look
they
at them.
They were the One Direction of the 80s.
They look like the 80s. They were maybe a little better than One Direction.
I mean,
although it might
Prince,
be a horse race.
You got the Pretenders. You got Styx. You got...
Styx.
Oh, Der Kommissar After the Fire. Wow.
What you know what? What did Jeff... Was it Jeff Newman that said?
Well, that was Jeff Leonard.
Jeff Leonard, forgive me. Yeah.
Do you have...
I do.
Do you have Der Kommissar?
Give me one.
After the Fire? 93KYS, Jeff Leonard. He had Donnie Simpson in the morning. Jeff Leonard in the afternoon drive, and Chuck Davis, middays. I thought that was the, as much as I did not fit that format, I thought that was the I thought that was the coolest radio bunch of guys you could ever have. 93KYS, Jeff Leonard, Der Kommissar, After the Fire, at your house. It's okay. They left the TV on the lawn. You're going to be fine. Kiss FM. You know, that was just a cool break. That I remember one
TV
cool break.
On the lawn?
It's gonna be okay. Yeah,
I remember cool breaks. I remember when I heard Don do a funny break when he said, "This weekend it's the Kentucky Derby. My money's on Mr. Ed. He told me he was gonna win." That was a good one. It's another one I remember for a long time. But anyway, so I'm just looking at pretty damn fine. Collection of music.
It was a fun time for Top 40 because there was so much turnover. There was always mm-hmm. something new and always something good.
Right.
So Carrie and I, during the break, were watching this couple, the cool couple, the mm-hmm. guy in his perfect starched shirt with his perfect skinny guy sweater, swaying with his girlfriend, whispering.
You're jealous.
No, just saying what a
no,
jerk.
No, you're jealous. If he's skinny, you're jealous. Like, I don't like it. I call him down here, Rob, I call him man women.
Okay.
Because what they are.
How dare they
the
not
guys,
be fat?
They wear, they're thin. They have great tans. They wear gold jewelry and they wear pastel colors.
Okay.
And that's the way they, and then it's like, oh, look at that. Look at that lovely, those lovely brown, overly priced, shoes that you're wearing, the loafers that you're wearing with your tanned legs. Woman.
Well, I didn't get a chance to see the gentleman's legs, but
no offense,
he also
no offense
had,
to any women out there.
He also had
you
the.
Showed them, Mike.
Yeah. He had
the birdie.
Yeah,
birdie.
Yeah.
Stupid.
How dare you stay in shade?
And so he had this lovely girl with him. They're too young for the room, and they want to be seen because they're standing and they're swaying, right? So Carrie and I start watching them. We even start making up conversations like, honey, do you think they're looking at us? Of course they are because we're standing. Hug me closer. I will, and they'll look at us more. So, you know, this is our entertainment for halftime.
See, they're a hateful duo. That's it. They have been, Rob and Carrie get together, and I kind of can't imagine how our ears must burn.
Oh, no. You know. Just we say, it was a great show today. Who was funny? I can't choose. So we're keeping an eye on them.
Hey, ho!
Of course, by the time the concert starts, we're really not watching them. Until they get into one of the songs, and I remember the song, it was a medley of Planet Earth and New Moon on Monday, Mike, another classic Duran Duran record.
I played them, I don't even know.
Seven and the Ragged Tiger. But they're doing the concert up on stage, and there's a lot of lights, and there's fog and everything, rock concert. And we see to our left the good-looking people leave in an immediate hurry. And, you know, it's packed, it's a sellout, and to have to leave during a song, they're saying, excuse me, and they're leaving. And I just say, Carrie, they're leaving. And she's like, I don't care, the band's on. So Carrie is not watching it as close as I am, but I'm starting to watch this sideshow because now their seats are empty, and I see behind them someone is seated. Now, this is a stand-up concert. There was no chance to sit down the entire show. The entire arena was standing for the entire show. And a security guard...
They were that great?
Well, to that crowd, yes. Also, they need to keep their knees and hips stretched. Because it's an older crowd. Yeah. If you sit down...
Did you sit at all during the concert?
I did not.
Everybody was standing?
No. I might have if other people did, but I'm
tired by the end of the night.
Mike, I was exhausted. The next day, I was destroyed.
I don't like standing.
I don't That's either. But if I had sat, I wouldn't have been able to see because I would have been the only one seated in the auditorium.
Oh, so. What a pain in the ass. How long did you have to stand for?
I think they played for about 100 minutes, 110 minutes, maybe nearly 2 hours. I don't know. But so. I keep an eye on this.
Why can't you say nearly 2 hours?
Yeah.
Why do you have to say 110 minutes?
I said it. I don't know. You got a problem with it?
I'm sitting there. I'm like, why are you giving us math to do now? Yeah. Like, well, why?
Mike, they played for probably 6,060 seconds.
There you go. Okay. All right. So I don't know why everybody has to stand. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. But you know what? When in Rome. And so a security guard comes over to where this mass exodus was and looks... And talks into the collar.
Yeah.
I can't hear what's going on. And then it becomes obvious. A lady has become sick and thrown up. And I do believe she threw up on the good-looking couple.
Oh, no.
Somebody barfed?
Yeah, and so I look over, and what I see is a lady who maybe in 1984, in the heyday of the band.
Skynyrd, Guns N' Roses, maybe puke it there. Duran, I wouldn't think of that as a puking crowd.
No, I seen a lady seated back there, Mike, who in 1984 might have been hot slash goth. But now, 30 years later, not so much, and she has got the eyes that are sort of rolling around in her head. And I'm trying to say, Gary, you got to look at this show.
Was there a lot of drug use, do you think, at this?
I didn't smell. You know, usually the easiest drug to smell is pot, and I didn't smell any of it.
That
I think
there was a lot of venue, you're not going to have a lot of pot.
I think there was a lot of Plavix. Being used.
I remember now Duran played the theater in D.C., the Warner Theater.
Okay.
Yes. It was like a private show, Warner Theater. We had tickets, and that's the first time as an intern. No, I was a promotion guy. An older woman propositioned me. I remember that. Yes.
How long ago was that?
This might have been 11, 12 years ago.
Wow.
I'm sitting in the HFS Avalanche, I think, at that time. and I'm outside of the Warner Theater, and this, like, I want to say mid-40s.
Okay.
Woman comes up to me. She says, if you've got two tickets, I'll do anything for them. And I looked at her, and I said, ladies.
Oh, my God.
She's going to cause an Oscar Santana avalanche.
She said, I'm going into the venue in, 20 minutes. I have four pairs of tickets left. If the people don't show, they forfeit their tickets. You can just have them. She's like, all right, what do I got to do for you? And I said, nothing. Just wait by the corner of the entrance. And if they come, they come. If they don't, they don't.
Wow.
Was she attractive?
She was attractive, but not attractive enough for me to lose my job or have a situation happen.
Did you smell the puke when you were in there?
Not at that point. Because what happened is two more security guys showed up, and now they're all talking.
Yes.
And it's either, I think there's two, they hire two kinds of security guards. There's either very tall men or very short women.
Man, have you had anything to eat tonight? Well, I did go to Buca di Beppo.
So after three security guards are talking into their collars, a guy shows up, a maintenance guy. And do you know the thing they use to
November 9th, 2003. That's when they played.
Oh, 13 years ago?
Yes.
They've been getting her done a long time.
It's like usually used in like a theme park for when they sweep up papers and cigarette butts. And when you pick it up, it becomes a bucket. But when you put it down, it's like a dustpan.
Right.
So a guy shows up to clean up the puke with that and a tiny broom.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I look over and he's there and he looks over the rail. And he sees it, and he shrugs, like, what the hell am I supposed to do? And so he walks away. At this point,
the good-looking couple that scampered away,
yeah.
Would the vomit have come from behind them and above them?
One row behind and up, because you know how the seats are graded.
See, I keep thinking of you as being on the floor.
I was on the floor, so I could see it, but I was on the aisle.
You had better seats than they did.
Exactly.
Okay, and so they were vomited on from on high.
About the time, Mike, about the time the guy shrugs and leaves with his bucket, I start to smell the unmistakable smell of Parmesan cheese and beer.
Oh, gross. Oh, God.
And it is really, it's starting to hamper my enjoyment of the concert, but here's
quite
the good news.
Quite a pyrotechnic display, right? Lots of strobe lights.
Oh, lots of lighting, yeah.
And that smoke. Can cause you to yak if you're, you know, if you've had a few beers more than you normally would.
Then a fifth person shows up, and they have what looks like a can of coffee creamer, and I didn't get the brand, but I realize immediately what it is. It's the vomit cleaning agent.
And where they just spray it on the vomit.
And
they
it's
just,
but
like,
Mike,
sprinkle it all over the vomit.
It's a powder. And she opens it up, and she... just shaking it all over. So now the arena smells like beer, Parmesan cheese, and flowers. And it's,
I typed into Google, Duran Duran got fat, because I wanted to see the fat lead singer.
I'm doing the same thing. Hold on. Let me
and
do
the first thing that comes up is Hungry Like the Wolf.
Yeah.
Which makes complete sense because that's their hit, right?
Extraordinarily hungry like the wolf.
And so I'm like, oh, I got to go with images here.
Right.
And the guy, he's not fat.
No, but he's certainly not the way he looked
when
Rio came out. So, Mike, now they start, they've got a guy in there, and I think they sort of get rid of most of it. But what's so great is this is maybe two-thirds of the way through the show. By the end of the show, and this is a sellout crowd, there is an empty arc in the crowd because everyone has inched as far away from as they can
from
the puke.
What a, you know, really, I understand you never know, but really, how about a little decorum?
Please.
I mean, how old did the woman appear to be that vomited?
I would say, let's put her at 48.
Oh, God.
48
you
know hard
better, lady,
years.
For God's sake.
And I just kept thinking, if she drank enough there to puke, she spent a lot of money. Those beers are $15.
Yeah, and
you know,
the
Oscar,
tickets.
I will agree that, Rob, probably a little chunkier than they were, but at the same time, fairly well preserved.
Well,
I mean,
here's
life
one thing that
unkind to them. Axl Rose, on the other hand, I mean, Axl Rose looks like he looks like death.
Him and Vince Neil. Whatever addictions they had, it went straight to food.
Yeah, absolutely. And did anybody see? I'm not going to put it in news you may not need because it was the big viral video over the weekend where you know, Vince Neil and Nicolas Cage
got in
fighting
the fight
outside
right?
in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It was so nasty. Absolutely. Vince Neil looks like a train wreck.
Big video screen. They had a video screen the size of the stage, but here's the deal. They didn't show the band because I feel, you know, normally when you have a big video screen, there's like TV monitors so you can see better views of the band.
Sometimes it's true for sporting events as well.
As well, if you go to some sort of sporting game that involves a ball or a stick.
Like the Masters.
But they didn't show the band because they showed them for maybe a total of 2 minutes the whole concert. They showed their keyboard player, Nick Rhodes. He looks like Charlie Watts' dad now. He looks old. John Taylor looked horribly old. And then, of course, you know, there's the extraordinarily hungry like the wolf, Simon Le Bon. So they didn't, they hide
how
the
would
fact
you rate
that they aged.
And by the way, these names that no one really knows. No, really. I mean, they're not
people
that
know
big.
These
they're
names.
Not,
no, they
not,
don't.
No, they don't, Rob.
All right.
No, this is your narrow.
This isn't Crab Rangoon.
Wife,
this is an 80s band.
Right, they are an 80s band, but they are not.
I have to apologize then for speaking of the very, very, you know, isolated fan base of Duran Duran.
Yeah. Simon Le Bon. No, they fill the Verizon Center. They're obviously big enough to be able to do that. I mean, that's...
people will know their names, I do believe.
Simon Le Bon,
let Mike
know
if you know.
I know
but if you don't know, let him know too.
I played that music. So, and I kind
you see, you,
of drift on it.
You hate the music because you played it.
I do.
You really
I truly do.
You
but better. I looked at the 1983 playlist, and there's some amazing, amazing music.
Yeah,
it's not
really
worth $300, though.
Is that how much it was?
A ticket.
Our tickets were $140, I think.
Yeah, but if you
seats.
Wanted to, even $140 is rough.
Yeah,
well, it was. You know, real quick before we go to break, is that do you have any more on that? Or are you,
it was cool? A good band, although I will say this, that I would have probably been just as happy seeing just the Nile Rodgers part of the show. It was a tremendous opening act, but it was great, and it was great. It was a Christmas present for Carrie, so she had a good time, and so that's a success
sweet.
Right there.
By the way, so the last thing I wanted to say, watching the golf tournament, the Masters, that everybody watched yesterday, golfers, more than anybody else, can relate to that, what happened. That particular shot, you might think, hey, it's so short. It's such a short distance to the hole. The fact is, that is one of the most difficult shots to get absolutely right, and when the margin for error is so minuscule, I felt I was somebody who got so bored that I turned it off, but then I DVR'd the whole thing. and Jordan Spieth had this meltdown. Let's just remember he's 22 years old. Mm-hmm. And
why would you feel bad for? He's 22.
He's 22 and he's got a green jacket already.
Yes.
He's got a green
jacket. I liked the guy from Game of Thrones that won. Like, he was great.
Yeah,
Game
that guy was Willett.
Stinklage?
Willett? Yes. I don't even know his first name. Steve Willett? Steve Willett?
Online, if you look carefully, Mike.
Game of Thrones. Online, that's great.
He's Greyjoy. He's actually, remember the guy that becomes the imp? Yeah. Like, he looks just like Greyjoy. So everybody.
He does! Yeah, the guy you're talking. Is that the guy that's tortured?
Yes!
The guy that gets tortured by the evil guy.
So online, on Twitter, everybody had memes of Greyjoy winning the Masters.
He did with the beard stubble and everything. But you know what? It's the Masters, and I thought it was interesting, and it just. Anything can happen.
Can I ask you a dumb question?
Yes.
Because I watched. I want to say the last day, and I watched the tail end after class, okay. Right? So the last day of the Masters, I'm watching it doing homework, and I talked to Mike briefly before it started, and I'm watching and trying to get into it. Is every round, do they move the holes around, or is it the same hole every round?
It's the same hole.
Okay, because I was
the
like,
same hole.
So
yeah, they all play. That's why they have Amen Corner, and they have the different holes.
Yeah, I know it's the same hole, but
they don't move the pin.
The actual
they move the pin. They
yes,
do move the
that's
pin.
That's what I was trying to figure
every
out.
Every day they move the pin. Yeah, every day the pin will be in a different location. Mm-hmm.
Now, when he got it into the water, right? What hole is that? Do you know?
Oh, I want to say 15, 14 or 15.
I thought it was 14 maybe.
Okay.
14 maybe. So 14. When, that's Amen Corner.
And for what it's worth, Oscar, they don't move the lake. The lake stays in the same place.
But I was confused by your question, but every day
they move the pin, right?
Yeah. But at the Masters, I think they pretty much have them in the same places every year.
Got it.
So
got
the
it,
Saturday pin is kind of similar. I think that's the way to
so, do it. So when he got the ball in the water the second time, I thought he was going to pull a tin cup. When I was like, oh, my God, he's just going to continue hitting it until he gets it on the green, and it'll be the best 12 in the world.
What I didn't realize is that there is a drop area, and he didn't have to hit it from where he hit it. He could have gone up to a drop area where he knew the yardage. He talked about the discipline. When he put that first one in the water, he is still in control. It was the second one and then the third one that did him in.
Did you see when he said at the tail? And this is when you, after someone loses something like this,
right.
and it's just a fall from grace that you weren't expecting, you hope that they are the type of loser that's classy, right?
Sure, sure.
And for being 22, it's hard to see where he's going to go. He was not as classy as I would have liked, but
no, he wasn't, and he should have been, and somebody should have grabbed his ear. Mm-hmm. He did the whole thing with get the camera out of my
face. Not the face, not the face.
And that was not cool.
And I saw that.
He tried to look like he was going to cry at the jacket.
Yeah, so they have to give. And for anybody that doesn't care, you know,
by the way, we got it wrong. It was the 12th hole. 12th hole.
Oh, okay.
So it was the 12th hole.
The jacket. He's got to give the green jacket to the new winner.
It's tradition to put it on the new guy. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, Billy.
The scowl on his face.
Yeah. Yep. He was like a little kid. Yeah, he's 22. He showed every bit. You know what? That kind of pressure, 22 years old, I give him a
No, but Mike, you as a team, you have to have somebody there waiting.
Yep.
Because you have the ability to pay someone, a coach, someone to just grab him and say, hey, man, this is what we talked about.
Protect my reputation.
You've got all these millions of dollars on the line. Absolutely. Everybody's looking at everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Fake it until you get to your hotel room so you can trash it then.
Yeah, cry like a little baby. Yes. You know, oh, my God. Yeah, so he made a quadruple bogey 7 on the 12th hole, and that was it. And I remember going, I was cooking dinner for the family, and then I came back out, and I said, Wahapa! Congratulations to the guy from Game of Thrones.
That's great.
Greyjoy Willis. Greyjoy. We'll take a break, come back with news you may not need. This is the Mike O'Meara Show.
This week on OmeraCast, P1 Mark Wolf.
Mike is extremely quick-witted when it comes to a lot of things, but when it comes down to his ability to mimic celebrities or stars or actors or football players, whatever, he does it so well. That's what brings the joy, and people love hearing. My personal favorite is Frankie, the Chihuahua. I mean, I wish he'd bring that back.
Check out more of our discussion on OmeraCast. Download it directly from the TMOS app.
So what are they saying? I don't do it enough. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show.
Not the face. Not the face.
Not the face.
Face. This is brought to you by Vista Print. We love Vista Print. They're the best no matter what you need for the home or office. Postcards, flyers, banners, apparel, invitations, you name it. Vista Print does it all right, but there's nothing better than their business cards. The best deal in the best business, and the best deal in the business, I should say, bar none. I wasn't reading that because I was reading this. These are our VistaPrint cards that I have for you right now. Want to thank Brett Shepard, who's from Maryland Rent Court Services, the majority owner. He's got a card from that. Our good friend Rob Snow White, a fly fishing consultant, with his picture on there. There you go. There he is. That's a good one, too. We've got this guy, Robert P. Squire, from Renaissance Dental Arts in Nevada, in Reno, Nevada. Thank you, Robert, for sending us your business card. And go get your dental work done with that guy, because he was nice enough to support our show. We'll support him as well. John Britton, who's the Vice President of Operations for Wings to Go, and that is in Laurel, Maryland. Mm. And there it is right there. He had his card done at
Wings
to
Go.
So thank you. Thank you very much. And that's everybody taking advantage of a wonderful deal. And listen to this. This is $9.99 for 500 business cards. That's under $10. Use the TMOS code to check out. They're customizable. They're fantastic. We thank you for supporting us. If you have a VistaPrint card and you'd like to get it on the show, we'll read yours next time we do
Send
a VistaPrint commercial. Remember to use the code TMOS at VistaPrint.com, and you will get 500 business cards for $9.99. I will tell you, it is the best deal in the business, and we really do appreciate everybody doing that. The main reason that we like VistaPrint is because it's such an incredible deal for our listeners. Send me your card, and I'll do it the next time. Thank you very much in advance.
News.
What's going on?
Mike, I sent you a text.
All right, let me see. Hold on. Text here. All right. Very good.
It's Theon Greyjoy.
Oh, my God. He does look... Oh, incredible. When it's side by side, it's even more... It's Fortune. It's Greyjoy. And, boy, that young man has endured an incredible amount of abuse on that show. Yeah. Horrible. They did something. Mm-hmm. Didn't they do that? They did something to his privacy.
Yes.
I think
to his
down there.
Privacy.
Yes.
Yeah, Lorraine Obama.
Yeah.
A new study looked at how filthy the equipment is at your gym, Oscar Santana. Here's a spoiler alert. It's like 400 times more disgusting than something that's covered in butts all day. The average exercise bike and treadmill in the study had 1.3 million potentially bad bacteria on it.
Ooh.
That's 417 times more than the average toilet seat. Free weights have 362 times more bacteria than a toilet seat, but that doesn't mean free weights are necessarily safer. Half of their bacteria are something called, this is so gross, gram-negative rods.
Oh.
And almost all of those can make you sick.
Wow. But on the bright side,
it has something to do with a butt.
On the bright side, Mike, try the new Gold's Gym yogurt.
Oh, that's so nasty. Cultures. Treadmills and bikes are mostly covered in gram-positive COCCI. Is that Kochi?
Kochi, I think.
Kochi, which are more likely to cause skin infections.
Oh.
The main reason the stuff at the gym is so covered in germs is that no one gives it a real cleaning during the day. So you see somebody swab it down, but they don't give it a real, like, steam cleaning.
Yeah, what you need is some Windex. You're fantastic.
I went to SoulCycle yesterday for the very first time in months, I want to say, right?
Right.
And I forgot. I rent the shoes there. I don't have my own shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the shoes on.
It's like a bowling alley.
Yeah, and it
worse
was.
Worse than that.
And they were moist. And I
God, gross.
So he said, hey, not for nothing, but can I get another pair of shoes? Yeah.
Go to the rack marked dry.
And they said, no, it's just the spray we used to, like the antibacterial spray.
Sure it
and
is.
I said, all right, can I just get one that doesn't feel like antibacterial spray?
Oh, man. E. coli cycle. A website called The Information got their hands on some confidential Facebook data and found that oversharing went way down last year. People shared 21% less personal info in 2015. That includes things like baby pictures, new jobs, deaths in the family, vacations, and weddings. We also shared 5.5% fewer news stories and videos last year, but clearly we're more likely to be willing to spread those around than our personal info. There are two main theories about why oversharing has gone down. One, we finally got shamed into stopping by all the jokes people make about sharing too much info on Facebook. And two, people are finally freaked out by Facebook casually invading their privacy. Like if you post your engagement photos and all of a sudden ads are all over your page for wedding products. So
it's true.
That might
yeah.
be one of the
Aww.
Reasons. That did not apply to anybody on this show.
No.
I think
No.
Rob and I both continued to share as much as, probably not as much. You don't share as much as you used to.
Well, right? I want all those wedding ads. That's what I want.
There you go. That's why every week Rob shares his engagement. Parade Magazine released its annual What People Earn issue yesterday. When it comes to celebrities, Taylor Swift cleaned house. Here they are. They're not numbered, so I'll just go from bottom to top. Ronda Rousey, $6.5 million. Anderson Cooper, $11 million. Stephen Curry, that's the Golden State Warrior, yeah. Right?
Stephon Curry.
Stephen. Curry. Stephen. $11.4 million. YouTube star PewDiePie.
Yeah. Oh, the kids love him.
$12
million. They do. PewDiePie.
I believe you.
God, I want to be a YouTube star. Peyton Manning, $27 million. Kevin Hart, $28 million. Leonardo DiCaprio, $29 million. Judge Judy, $47 million.
$47 million.
Wow.
They don't keep me here because I'm pretty. They keep me here because I'm smart.
She is pretty.
Jay-Z, $56 million. Lady Gaga, $59 million. Gordon Ramsay, $60 million. And Taylor Swift at the top of the list. $80 million for Taylor Swift.
You know, that was not the best thing in Parade Magazine yesterday. Did you read Howard Hughes? That no, dog.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
He gets into everything.
Speaking of Mulan, Melissa McCarthy's The Boss edged out Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Top spot at the box office, The Boss made $23.5 million, while Batman vs. Superman made $23.4 million. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony went down Friday night. The televised version won't air on HBO till April 30th, but here are seven highlights. One, I'll give you one. Steve Miller took a little shot at the Rock Hall during his speech, criticizing the lack of inclusion of women, but that was nothing compared to how he lit into them after the ceremony. He called the evening, quote, a lazy night with a bunch of fat cats, and said it's not a real pleasant experience. He also said it felt like being, quote, in a BS reality TV show. Boy, he's angry.
He's bitter.
He said the hall doesn't respect the artist, and he called for them to turn it over to new people. He didn't elaborate, but in another interview, he complained that he only got two tickets to the ceremony, and if he wanted more for his band and their wives, The Rock wanted $10,000 apiece.
Whoa.
The Rock Hall wanted that.
And
so,
you know what? He had to bring his band in to perform. Yeah, so if he wanted his band to be able to have a seat, it was going to cost $10,000. They wouldn't give him money for the band.
Yeah, I believe him. I really do.
I do, too.
They could be scummy about that. And now a little something-something. Did you shower this morning or just walk out the door smelling like a dumpster? Well, Time Magazine recently did a poll and found a surprising number of Americans don't shower every day. Only 53% said, we were talking about this on the show last week.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Only 53% said they shower at least five times a week. 25% said three or four times. 15% said twice. And 8% said they only shower once a week. But apparently, that's not as gross as it sounds. According to an infectious disease expert at Columbia, showering more than twice a week doesn't really help as far as hygiene goes. And it might actually be a bad thing because it dries you out and makes you more prone to skin infections. With that said, there are reasons to take more showers than that, like if you go to the aforementioned gym, work in the garden, or you just stink. But in general, one or two showers a week is fine, and if you like to shower every day, that's okay. But don't scrub your whole body with a loofah. Just focus on your armpits and your nether regions. That's what they say about
As
the
As I always
shower.
Do.
The study was published in this month's issue of Rob Ford Digest. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Duran Duran Show. We'll be right back.
Hey! My guys.
Hey, it's your buddy Oscar Santana.
And this is Todd Moore.
You know us from Tech 411, the tech show that's sweeping the nation.
That's right, and we are here to help get you all your tech news, reviews, and apps you need to own.
It's very simple, and it's absolutely free.
So subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the Moore Broadcasting Network.
And for the record, we're not banging.
Yeah. If you're into virtual reality, our latest episode breaks that all down.
Yeah, lots of Mac.
Yeah,
Mr. Moore, it has been too long, and I would like to talk to him about his mean blog that he wrote about people with ideas. It'd be good because,
you read
first
that,
of all,
did you?
I liked it. I gave him a like. I gave him a like on Facebook when I read it, but at the same time, you know, upon reflection, he is very, very mean. And Todd wrote a blog, and I just like to get Todd in.
Yeah, he's at the F8 conference in San Francisco. He's flying out today, but we could get him on then or get him in studio when he gets back.
Anytime you want to get Todd Moore, I'll keep that handy with his blog. We'll talk maybe about his blog tomorrow on the show, which is Todd said, you know, don't ask me to develop your idea. It was pretty interesting.
He's never really said that to me.
Remember?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my God. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. If you like this, you'll love our bonus show. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS Bonus Packages. If you've been holding back just because we're already a few months into the year, don't fret. When you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up with our special feed creator. You can even create, you can even access our content from iTunes or pretty much any other podcast app in town. It couldn't be easier. So whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, click that bonus banner and get it done. The TMOS bonus package. Order yours today. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Monday, April 11, 2016. Rob Spiewak.
One thing you didn't mention about the Masters is that yesterday there was three holes in one on the same hole.
There were three holes in one.
That was the 16th hole. It was Shane Lowry, Davis Love III, and
incredible.
Louis, is it?
Oosthuizen.
Oosthuizen. But check it out. It's funny because you can hear the announcers, their excitement builds with each hole in one. It's fun.
Here is Shane Lowry, 8-iron.
Oh, this is handy.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Have we got room for two? Shane Lowry made a one just about half an hour ago, and now Davis Love backs him up.
Nice. Man, if you were sitting on that hole.
Don't hit the ball. Don't hit the ball.
Is there... Now, this was neat because on the Louis Oosthuizen shot,
He hit another ball that was about 2 feet from the hole, and he banked it off of that, and then it went in the hole.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Room to slip by. Oh, how disappointing. It might go in the hole, the other ball. Hang on.
Oh, it's still... no. Oh, no. It counts.
You're sitting on that hole all afternoon. You've got a show. There are people coming from that tournament, rich people, mind you.
Yes.
But they're telling their rich friends that, man, I was sitting on the hole at the Masters. Really, hey, you know, a lot of fun. Very interesting. Oh, there's something about that tournament. It's always something going down. So it was fun
and
to watch.
And beautiful to watch with their dyed water.
Absolutely gorgeous. Dyed water.
They dye the water?
They do to make it look nice and blue.
Oh, wow. Mm.
No, I don't think they dye the water at the Masters, do they?
Yes, they do.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, buddy.
It looks, but it looks like brown.
Well, what they did is
that's what I'm saying. Look like brown water.
It doesn't
water.
Look,
in the past, I mean, they have dyed it.
I know they've dyed water at other tournaments. I'm not sure whether, Rob, that place is so pristine that I think that it just doesn't look like it's blue water. You know, I don't know what the Masters are.
I remember.
It's brown. Yeah, this is golf we're talking about.
Oh, not hockey. Forget it. I'm off.
It's not putt-putt.
No, but it really, there's no blue water.
It seems to me maybe they stopped after they got caught. I will do some research.
We have just figured that out.
No, why would I make it up?
Why would they stop doing after they got caught? Because
you know what? When you say that, I think of the Homer Simpson line where it's like, well, if he wasn't wearing sandals, maybe they wouldn't have caught him.
That's right. Now, I think we've all been fired from different jobs. Have you ever wanted to go out on a firing with like a grand gesture?
Yes, I think everybody.
Of course,
if you,
you're cool, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly. Right. Well, Oscar references. You reminded me of that scene in Half Baked.
You, you're cool. You, I'm out.
But that's a movie. That's a movie. There is a. I think it's like a dollar store. It's called Red, White, and Blue.
Okay.
And a guy got fired, but before he left, he went to the intercom and he taped it and he posted it, and I think he did a pretty good gesture here.
Attention customers, the managers of Red, White, and Blue are who do drugs all day. They're and they fired my when I ain't called off one time. I don't give a. I ain't called off this one time. You gonna fire me because I put a ring on top of the refrigerator, stupid.
And we need a price check on wiper blades.
Is there an uncut version? I'd love to get the and play that on the bonus show.
Sure,
this week.
Absolutely.
Please bring that.
Mentioned
great.
Earlier, Fat Axl Rose.
Yes.
They performed in Las Vegas, and he broke his foot, as we said. So they actually, do you remember the throne that Dave Grohl sat in when he broke his leg?
Yeah.
Right,
they borrowed the Foo Fighters throne for him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you know what? For a sitting down rock concert, Axl sounded pretty good as they kicked off the tour.
I would still love to see them.
Yeah.
I got a chance to see Velvet Revolver when I worked for HFS once again. And we were backstage. We hung out with Duff and Slash. Uh-huh. And at that time, the lead singer was Chris. That was
Cornell?
No, it wasn't Chris Cornell. It was Scott
Weiland.
Weiland, yes. And Scott Weiland was 2 hours late to hit the stage. And I remember the tension that was building in the dressing room.
That must have been a fun place to be.
And Slash says, Scott's doing his best Axel. and I remember we had to go, like the jocks, not we, the jock had to go out on the crowd and say, hey, because they were the final act for the Nutcracker, a series of concerts. And the
Christmas concert.
They made the entire crowd wait for 2 hours. By they, I mean Scott, R.I.P.
Oh, my God. Did you see when he arrived finally?
When he walked down off his tour bus, because he was in his tour bus. It's not like he wasn't at the venue. He finally walked out and did the concert.
There was like a massive line at the food line.
A delay. That's rough. And then he was supposedly clean then.
He was clean. He was
two
not.
Hours, two yeah. hours late.
He wasn't showering twice a month.
Sorry, I'm later, but I...
That is your magic audio ball.
Oh, that's right. We're out of time.
Yes,
sorry
have
about
a
that.
Great Monday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, send it along to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and we'll read it on Thursday. Don't forget to take our survey. Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It means a lot, and we rely on your word of mouth. So tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.